listener production.
Please leave your message after the tone.
Why am I jealous of my ex?
I am so stressed all the time.
How do I get into a routine?
Is TikTok making me anxious?
I think I'm being manipulated.
Someone told me you could live with half a brain.
This is Do You Fucking Mind? Mindset Hacks for a Badass Life, hosted by me, Alexis Fernandez.
All right, everyone, welcome to today's episode. So today we have a head noise episode. This one is, I'm actually really excited for this episode because at the start of this episode, I'm going to be reading out a whole bunch of answers because I thought something fun to do with these episodes moving forward would be to start polling you guys on some questions on my Instagram and on the podcast Instagram page. Because you guys are so funny, whether you mean to be, whether you don't mean to be, when you talk about stories of your life, the way you say certain things are just, it's just brilliant. So I'm like, I need to poll you guys more often and share what you say. Because when I did the Ick podcast, everyone loved it so much because of the shit that people said on there about what their icks were. So I'm like, why not do more of this and poll you guys and hear what you have to say. So the question that I asked was, what is the wildest lie that an ex tried to get you to believe? And there are so many, so many. I actually think that I might have to split it up between this episode and then the next Head Noise episode, sharing all of them because some of them were beyond. Before that, I'm going to share a little anecdote, if you want to call it that, that happened to me over the weekend. And then I'll get into answering a couple of questions from you guys. Over the weekend, I actually, and the reason I'm sharing this is because I just think, I know there's already awareness around this, but I think it's really important to just talk about it, especially for young women, really important to talk about it. But over the weekend, I had my drink spiked and it was a fucking horrible experience and it felt like my body visited hell and back. It was awful. So basically what happened was I was out to dinner with my friend Bella. We had a great night. Went to Toddy's and then we're like, let's go out for a drink after. And we went to a bar in the city called Employees Only. We went there, we had a good time. We met some like guys there for a bit. They were lovely. And it's not to say that they were the ones that did the spiking or not. Who can know? We chatted to them for a bit. I remember commenting being like, oh my God, you'd get along so well with Tyrone because you're such a friendly person and you're this and that. Anyway, then some of Bella's friends came. It got to like 1:30 and I was like, I'm just tired. I'm going to go home. Bella already had some friends there. So she was all good and safe. I went up to her. I was perfectly fine. And I said, I'll grab my keys because they were in her handbag. Grabbed my keys. She asked me, do you want me to come outside and walk you to your Uber? And I was like, no, the Uber's like right there. It's already like, it's literally a block away. It's here. It's all good. I'm fine. Then the guy that we were talking to, he was like, I'll walk you outside. I'll walk you outside. And I'm like, no, it's good. He's like, no, let me walk you outside. And I'm kind of like, no, it's good. Anyway, I leave, get in the Uber, go home. So that's all good. As I'm walking into the front door, and this is like a 10-minute drive home. Like it was not a long drive home. As I start walking into the door, I start feeling like really like out of control of like my own movements. I start walking into the home and Tyrone was there with one of his mates. And straight away, both of them were like, oh my God, are you okay? Are you fine? And I'm like, oh, I don't feel good. Ran to the bathroom, was vomiting. And I'm someone that even when I drink more than I would have liked, I'm very, very put together. Like I don't think I could get legless intentionally, even if I wanted to. I would just end up vomiting before I lose control of my body. I've always been like that. So we all knew that, like Tyrone, his mate, and myself, we all knew that something was up. And I was just completely floppy. Like, yes, I could walk, but I was like zigzagging, bumping into things, had very little physical control, was vomiting a lot. And then I finally stopped vomiting and I was like, oh, I just need to lie down. And Tyrone's like, babe, I think your drink's been spiked. I'm like, oh, I don't know. Maybe this, maybe that. I'm just going to rest. So he brought me a bowl next to me. Anyway, I rested and then I fell asleep. Woke up in the morning and I was dying. I was just vomiting the whole time. The headache that I had was unbelievable. Tried to take some painkillers, but I couldn't keep anything down. I'm talking like I couldn't keep water down. I tried to eat just bread. Couldn't keep that down. I tried to eat dried fruit, lollies, like electrolytes in water, just plain water. coconut water. Like I just tried all these little things. Every single thing that I tried, I was vomiting back up. I could not keep anything down. And Tyrone's like, we need to take you to St. Vincent's, the hospital, and get you on a drip. And I'm like, no, 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 no. I'm fine. I'm fine. And I was pushing back so hard on going to the hospital because every 3 seconds I needed to vomit. And the thought of being in an emergency room vomiting, I'm like, I can't think of anything worse. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Had a nap. It was just such a bad day. Like I was, my whole body was in pain. And then Tyrone's like, Alexis, I'm taking you to emergency. Like, this is ridiculous. Let's go. He had to like literally force me to get dressed, force me out. Thank God he did, because honestly, by the time I got in the car, I was like shaking. My body was shaking because I was so dehydrated. I was so just trying to fix it myself and I couldn't get to the hospital. The triage nurse sees me and they're basically like, look, I explained what I think happened and they're just nodding, being like, yeah, 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 that sounds exactly like so many other cases that we've heard of. It's just, it happens all the time. Like really, like it's so fucked up, but this happens all the time. And if you want, we can, you know, try and test you for it. But if it's what we think it is, it's just, you know, the typical drugs that they use is date rape drugs. They're out of your system in just a couple of hours, like in 8 hours or less. So it's not going to be detectable, but we can try and detect other things if you want. We can do a urine test. And I'm like, I can't pee. I haven't had any fucking fluids other than the alcohol that I vomited back up last night. And they're like, yeah, we thought that might be the case. So they did my bloods just to check that everything was okay. And they put me on a drip where they gave me 2 liters of fluid and then like this anti-nausea medication. I was there for ages. And then I felt obviously a lot better and I was just tired for like a couple of days after. But that was so fucked. And okay, it was a horrible physical experience, obviously. But what was so much worse about the whole thing was obviously how fucked up that situation was. Like the fact that there are people out there that are like, I am entitled to render a person completely unable to control themselves, to move, to whatever. It is like, you are a rapist if you are doing that. You are no different to someone who abducts someone on the side of the street and fucking rapes them. Like, why the fuck else are you doing that? You have an agenda because you want to take advantage of this person. So someone who does that is a full-blown rapist. So I'm like, who the fuck was I interacting? Was it that person who tried to walk me outside? Was it someone else in the bar? Like, who are these people that are just among us when we're casually just out trying to have a good time? And the fucked thing is that you're like, okay, yeah, you need to watch your drink when you're out. But again, the ownership is always on the victim. Watch your drink. Are you being careful enough? Are you being careful enough? It's like, cunt, I don't go out to a bar to be paranoid, right? We go out because we're going to relax, to let loose, to have a good time, not to be like, fuck, 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 let's check my drink. So of course, even though the intention is to keep an eye out, you obviously are going to forget. So it's just so, like, I find it so twisted. It's so morbid. I guess the main thing is always keep an eye out for your friends. Like, had I been already in that state, I know for a fact that my friend Bella would have 100% either gone home with me or at the very least walked me to the cab and put me in the cab. But Bella would have probably just gone home with me. Like, we're just that aware that it would be so, and she knows that she would have never seen me in that state. She would have been like, guys, I'm going to leave. I'm going to take her home. So I just want you to make sure that if you ever see your friends in that state, benefit of the doubt, just think there's a chance they've had their drink spiked. I need to go home with them. I don't think it's even good. And also it's a good thing that I live with Tyrone and he was home. Like, I used to live alone for a significant part of my 20s. So I could have just been home and I don't know. It's just really scary to think all the potential things that could be happening to all these women who are just like someone's prey, basically. And basically, I guess the only takeaway that you can have from this, because at the end of the day, you're just a victim who's, you know, like there's no ownership that you need to take because you haven't done anything wrong. But just, I guess, I think that it will make me so much more mindful if I ever see a friend who's like that drunk. I'm just going to jump to the conclusion that they've had their drink spiked and do everything in my measure to make sure that they're going to be okay. I mean, from my perspective, when I left, I was perfectly fine. It was just in that window that I kind of got that unwell. So anyway, that's my fucking story of my lovely fucking weekend. That was just such a great, and it was like so sick last week. So I'd taken all like 3 days off last week and I had this, you know, so much work to do and I had the flu. And then this happens and I'm like, my body has just been through the fucking ringer over the last week. But anyway, pleased to say that I am fine now. Let's shift it to a lighter note and read out some of the answers that you guys gave me to the question of what is the craziest thing that your ex has tried to get you to believe? There's so many, so let's start going through them. That he wasn't sleeping with his ex. They would hang out until 3 a.m. in her dorm. That he wasn't married. The lies he told me and the lengths he went to were insane. That he went to a prostitute because his friends made him. That a hickey on his neck was because he fell into a bush. He ghosted me and changed his relationship status on Facebook because he was, quote unquote, scared to get hurt. That he needed a lift to help a friend in a crisis. It turned out it was an ex. I drove him to his exes. That he had been deployed and killed someone overseas as an excuse for his abuse. He actually had never left the country. That is insane. This imbecile said that he was hiding in his house when really he was speeding back from banging his ex. That he was in the mafia. That his brother was lying when he told me that he caught him cheating. That he wasn't fucking his ex when he was. So many people out here fucking their exes. Like, bro, why are you entering? Why are you entering a new relationship when you just clearly, both of you guys just keep, like, what? I just can't imagine cheating on a current partner to fuck an ex. What's the point? Anyway, that him cheating was a joke and I should just chill out. That all men watch porn and that if any previous boyfriend told me otherwise, they were lying. He said, I gave her my number because I wanted to see pics of her cute dog, I swear. He said, I posted a flame react on her story because I was trying to boost her self-confidence. That Instagram sometimes randomly will delete DMs and it is out of his control. He said, I don't know how those nudes of that girl got on my phone. That he had a girlfriend who died in front of him after a hit and run. It turns out she didn't even exist. There's a, like, that his ex-girlfriend he constantly talked to and pinned convos with was just a friend. I knew a girl whose boyfriend had her believing that blowjobs relieved his headaches. Like, if you're probably better at, like, flirting and foreplay, you could get the blowjob because you're actually good at sexual chemistry. If you're having to, like, what does it say about how shit you are about turning your partner on that you have to bribe them or you have to manipulate them to get a blowjob? Like, that is such a poor reflection on your sexual maturity. It's fucking embarrassing. Get your shit together. That my mood was the reason he acted out of character and cheated on me. He said, it's your fault you found out I was cheating. We would be fine if you hadn't. Yeah. That his roommate accidentally got into his bed. That he was using a dating app like a Facebook marketplace / Gumtree and not for dating or sex. That I had too much of a routine with our infant at home, which is why he was cheating on me. That he had a heart condition and was going to die in 3 months, but he didn't. He either didn't die or he didn't have the heart condition. That him and his ex still shared a bed because she wouldn't accept that they were broken up. Like, what? That his fiance was his flatmate and I believed this for 9 months. Imagine dating someone and you think that, oh my God. So wow, so many questions here. Did the fiance even know? Did you ever meet this flatmate? And then what story would he have told his fiance about? Anyway, that him smoking crack every weekend wasn't an issue. I just needed to change my mindset. That he got chlamydia from the toilet seat. That two of his exes felt the need to call the cops on him for assault, but they were the crazy ones. After an argument, he drove to his ex-partner's house and only crashed on her couch. That he had cancer, but he didn't. He said, "That's my daughter's underwear in his bed." There's so many fucking questions around that one. What the fuck? That he didn't have a second girlfriend our entire year of our relationship. That his horrible ex left while he was at work. Now I know that it was the only way she could escape. Oh, that's so sad. Okay, I'm going to do three more and then I'm going to have to do the rest on the next episode because there's so many. That the girl I caught him naked in bed with was just a friend and this is what mates do. That he was committed to a psych ward when in reality he was out cheating in another town. Like the lengths that people go to. Okay, last one. That they were just holding a cigarette for someone else after he said he had quit smoking. Now I'm going to go into answering some of your questions. I think I've got two. I'm going to try and get to three, but let's just see how we go. Hi, Alexis. Firstly, thank you so much for always being your authentic you. I've been a long-time listener and you have been a massive guiding point in so many parts of my life. So much love. Okay, first to give you some background. My husband and I are both in our mid-ish 20s, having first met when we were 18. We've been married for almost 3 years now. We were both brought up in completely different environments where I had to be quite independent and do a lot on my own and for myself from such a young age. I struggled a lot with anxiety, which was always dismissed and ignored by my parents. In truth, they were the main cause of it. My parents all also never got along, so I was always caught in the middle of arguments, stressful situations for a young girl. I love my parents, but I get very anxious when I'm around them for too long, especially now that my younger sister, literal golden child, has moved away. They are trying to force a better relationship with me, and I feel as though I am getting backed into a corner and just not dealing. Whereas he was brought up on a farm with the old school mindset of mom stays at home and dad works, etc. A very, very close-knit family. Like so close that when I first started seeing him at 18, he was still kissing his mom on the lips to say goodnight. Sorry, but no, ick. Safe to say that never happened again after I'd seen it for the first time. His parents would literally move the world for us slash him if they could. Bless, they are so lovely and super supportive. But them always being on the farm has kind of made them live a sheltered life, both quite judgmental on literally everyone, always commenting on what someone has said or done, etc., which sucks because they really dig into people that like doing the things that I enjoy doing, like going out, dancing, drinking, all the fun things. Very disheartening. They are very loving and caring. They just don't really understand the effects this behavior can have on people. It's a very negative environment to be around. They're also very involved with our relationship and don't understand boundaries, which I have discussed with my husband, but it's very difficult considering who works for them and slowly taking over their fencing business. It's a lot. When we first got together, I embraced every moment of being a part of his family dynamic because I'd never had it before. And honestly, my entire happiness just revolved around my husband and being with him is what made me happy and only doing things that he wanted to do. Hunting, fishing, camping, spending time with his family, those kinds of things. I now realize that I completely lost myself being like this and becoming so attached to him. His happiness was my happiness. I missed out on so many experiences and opportunities and creating memories with my friends, and some friendships even fell apart because I was so caught up in him. I love my husband and he would never treat me terribly. Honestly, he pretty much is a dream partner, but I'm struggling so much in this relationship and I just don't know why. I've been on this massive growth and self-love journey and it's made me realize a lot of things about myself. I am absolutely not the person I was 2 years ago when we were discussing children and were happy with just being content and the same. Now I want to do so much more. I want to travel, experience the world, step outside my comfort zone and put starting a family on hold for now, which is all things he absolutely has no interest in. He's really struggling with the fact that I want to put off having children and that I'm unable to give him a time frame on when I will be. I used to be this full of life, bubbly and energetic person to be around, and now I'm just this sad sack Sally and I'm hating it. I've been making new friends and surrounding myself with people that fill my cup up and doing things that I enjoy. But these are all things without him. I'm at a point where I would rather do all these things without him because if he does come or we do things together, he usually just sits there on his phone completely disconnected and uninvolved, unless it involves hunting. I want change and he is so happy and content with our life that he doesn't want change. We are growing on completely different paths and I just don't know what to do. He is an obsessed hunter. He goes most mornings and afternoons and usually away most weekends, all weekend. I love that he has a hobby he is so passionate about, but I am just so exhausted, constantly fighting to be his priority at least once. It has been like this our entire relationship. The past few months, we have both been feeling this distance and growing, and ultimately I know it's my fault as I'm the one who needs a change. I'm currently seeing a counselor because I'm struggling so much with my mental health, but he is not interested in doing these sessions with me or even taking the time to understand mental health a bit more. He's just under the impression that I need to deal with it and then all will be okay. He's technically blaming my mental health for the problems we are having. And just to make the situation messier, I find that I'm often seeking validation from other people. Temptation is a mad thing and so hard to remove, especially when you feel so undesired. I'm completely torn because I love him and I feel I am holding him back from being happy because I'm not happy. What should I do, or do you have any advice on what you think of my situation? We have had discussions, but it's so difficult as I can't stand seeing how much I'm hurting him, even though I'm hurting just the same. Please help. I'm losing my mind. Oh, babe, can I just pull you up on one fucking thing you said, which I just don't think is it? You said, honestly, he's pretty much a dream partner. No, he is not. I'm sorry. He's not. Just because he doesn't treat you badly, it doesn't mean he's a dream partner. A dream partner is your person, right? A good person is not your dream partner. You guys do not fucking align at fucking all. He also doesn't put you as a priority. Hunting is above you every single fucking time. He's not interested in your mental health. He's on his phone when you're around your friends. He thinks that you changing is a bad thing when you're in your mid fucking 20s and growing and evolving is inevitable for most people. If he hasn't, so be it. But for most people, you're going to have some evolution. You've been together since you were 18. That to me screams the opposite of a dream partner. I think you look at him as a good person and you are misinterpreting a good person, whatever you deem a good person to be, in quotation marks. You are thinking good person equals dream partner. That is not a dream partner. Also, I understand that maybe prior to this, you maybe didn't have any long-term relationships. And if you did, you would have been quite young. So I understand that maybe you don't have a crazy point of comparison. But babe, this ain't it. This is not a dream partner. Is he a good person? Sure, we can say that. We can land on he's a good person. But dream partner, no. Now, you're 25. Well, roughly, you said mid-20s. You should not be pressured into starting a family before you're ready. Also, can I just say, this mental health that you're experiencing, a lot of it is coming down to this anguish and this torn feeling that you have. You are suffering. And I'm not saying that all the mental health is due to this, because I don't know your story other than this one email. But you are suffering because you know that there is so much more that you need in your life, that you need to experience in this life, and you're not getting it from the situation that you're in right now. Could you experience it staying in this relationship? Possibly. I don't know how things could go in this relationship. But the fact that you are already starting to branch out and the things that make you feel happy and that fill your cup up don't include him at all. And when you've tried to include him, it's just not really felt right. It's not worked and he's not wanted to get involved. That's a bit of a red flag. But And also the fact that he doesn't want to come to these therapy sessions when you're trying to navigate how you're feeling, big fucking red flag, especially when you've asked him to. The fact that he's trying to say the reason you're acting this way is because of your mental health, instead of saying maybe this situation that you're in is causing your mental health, red flag. I just feel like he is extremely unaware of your situation and not willing to become aware, not willing to educate himself, and not willing to look at this situation and say, hey, just because I don't like what's going on, it doesn't mean that she's in the wrong. He's looking at it as like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm fucking happy. I get to hunt whenever the fuck I want. I've got my wife who I claim that I love and I'm fine. You're now wanting to fucking turn everything around. I want children. Cunt, when the fuck are you going to be looking after the children if all you ever do is hunt? What do you want? Like, what do you actually want? You need to, like, I'm sorry, but all I'm going to say is you need to look at your life situation and say, if I were to suppress all these feelings and give this person what they want so I don't feel guilty for breaking their heart, will I resent myself later on? Because the only reason you're staying right now and doing all the things that he wants you to be doing is to avoid feeling guilty for hurting somebody's feelings. Not because it fulfills you, because it doesn't. It doesn't fucking fulfill you. So these are your two options. Be miserable and not feel guilty, but then feel crazy amounts of guilt later on in your life for not listening to what you know was the right thing. Self-guilt, which is worse. That's one option. The second option is to leave, which is a very big possibility, whether you do it now or a bit later, to be like, this is not for me. I have to go. I have to. And the third option is to say to your partner, I am now reaching a point where, and it's not, I don't like threatening to leave a relationship, but you have to say something's going to give. Something has to give. Okay. And it's either going to be my mental health or it's going to be this relationship. And I don't want it to be my fucking mental health. Okay. So unless you can realize that people changing is inevitable, and unless you look at me as someone that you love and you want to grow with, we're never going to succeed. We're never going to succeed long-term. You need to come with me on this journey. You don't have to do everything that I want to do, but you have to be okay with watching me evolve as a person and start to want different things and start to like different things. If for you having children right now, or if you not having children right now is a deal breaker, then the deal is broken, because I can't be having kids right now because that will put me into a fucking tailspin. I can guarantee you right now, having children to try and save a marriage or to try and appease somebody else is the worst thing you can do for your mental health, because you right now are not happy. And that's not going to be what makes you happy. Okay. Adding a child into the mix adds more stress into the mix. It doesn't fix anything. So the only way this can work is if you can get him to come around and say, you need a fucking attitude change. You need to change your attitude about the fact that I'm changing. You need to change your attitude about what you think about my mental health, or this relationship is toast. Okay. So you pick. You either change or you don't, but I'm on this journey and I want to travel and I want to do these things and I want to postpone having children. To be honest with you, I think there's just a big chance that you guys might have already grown too far apart. And you just want completely different things. You've also got to keep in mind that you are 25 or mid 20s. And if you're already having these big changes and these big growths, I would say I hate to tell you, but I don't hate to tell you because this is exciting for anyone. This is just the beginning. If you're already feeling, I want this, I want that, I want more, this is just the beginning. As you start to explore, you're going to, the horizons that you haven't yet seen, the shit that there is for you to explore. And because you've already become aware of it, you can't turn that off. You can't shut that off. You're starting to make new friends. You're meeting new people. That's going to be expand. The things you want to experience and do. You either have a partner that's like, babe, travel for a few months, go and do this thing. I'm fucking hunting every weekend, so what's it to me? Travel, go and live overseas for a couple of months. Go and do that. do you expand, explore, try new things. And I want to be on this journey with you. I don't want to lose you. So I'm going to try and grow with you. Or he can say, your mental health, you know, this is the reason, like your mental health, you've caused it because you're acting this way, because you're doing this. You've changed. And this is why you've got mental health problems. I'm not going to therapy. I'm not going to counseling. Who would you rather date? It's your choice. Option A, option B, or no one at all. But all I'm going to say is that you're not going back to who you used to be. That's not happening. So knowing what you know now, knowing who you are, and knowing that it's just going to get bigger and more, and your desires are going to grow even more, and you're going to develop and change even more, what's it going to be? You have to think, I cannot stay in a relationship because I feel guilty. Because I feel, based on that email, that that is why you are staying in the relationship, because you feel bad to break his heart because he might be a good person. Good person does not equal dream partner. He is not your dream partner. If this is a dream partner, you have no idea the potential for an ideal partner that's actually out there, whether you want to explore that option or not, whether you want to stay with your husband or not. But this is so far, I'm sorry to say, from a dream partner. You literally just explained, you described the opposite of what I would deem to be a dream partner. Hopefully that put a firecracker up your ass, because what I'm going to say is don't fucking bow down and be like, oh, okay, I'll just return to whatever. That's not happening. We have time for one more. The title is, This is a Loaded Situation. Dear Alexis, thank you for all your amazing episodes, which have helped me get through some very complicated times last year. While I do not expect to get sympathy for my actions, I do think my situation is not unique, and I would love some kick-ass advice from you. I'm sure therapy would help, but you always have a unique take that I value. About 6 months ago, I came out of an affair I had been involved in for about 6 months. I have two teen daughters and a husband who loves me, treats me well, and we have an active physical relationship. I had no reason to cheat except that my ex shined the sun on me as a person in a way that had not happened in a long time. I never went looking, but we met through our kids and he wanted me from the first time he saw me, I later found out. I never even thought about him as more than a friend, but he chipped away at me for months, becoming close, and we spent loads of time together at practices, laughing and getting to know each other. Other people would joke that we were boyfriend / girlfriend because our connection was so obvious. 8 months into our friendship, we were on a sports trip and a switch flipped in me and I was equally into him. Eventually, it became physical. I didn't know that his intentions were manipulative, but his actions were similar to love bombing and he became a limerent object for me. It was a lethal combination of chemistry and friendship that was off the charts. Ultimately, we both had feelings, but the relationship had nowhere to go. Neither of us wanted to blow up our lives or our family. He began to breadcrumb and I called him out to save my sanity and dignity. We parted as well as possible, but he still called often until eventually he didn't. We still see each other occasionally for sports where we have time alone, and while chemistry is all there, we are in no contact outside of that. When we are together as families socially, it is hard for me because he keeps his distance since his wife had his suspicions. I understand, but it stings. Yeah, no wonder she had her suspicions. It's fucking, yeah. We are 100% done. And I have made an effort to put more into my relationship with my husband and try to put things behind me. Things are better than ever. I would never tell him because it would destroy so many lives, and I believe it would be selfish to clear my own conscience and burden him with this terrible situation. There is no world in which my ex and I would end up together. I guess I'd love to know how I can forgive myself and how to move on from such a dead-end situation with my ex. I've made great strides getting over him, but still think of him daily. When we are alone, it feels like things never ended and I'm set back to square one trying to move on. Okay, the first thing I'm going to say is, do you love your husband in the way he deserves to be loved? Because I know that people say, I will destroy lives, but are you the wife that he deserves to have? Because I'm not saying you should tell him. I'm just saying, ask yourself this question. Because if Tyrone went out and cheated on me, and was like madly having all these feelings for somebody else, and he was having this exciting fucking thing going on, and it was just intense and this and that. But there was no world in which they could be together. So probably for that reason, he decided to stay with me. And then later I found out, I'd be a bit like, cunt, where was my opportunity to decide if I wanted to stay in this relationship? Like, so all I'm saying is, are you being the best version of yourself, the best wife you can be to him? Because if you're not, and you're not telling him what happened because you don't want to ruin his life, but you in turn are then not letting him make up his mind, then that would be unfair. So I hope that you are really, I don't know, I just hope that you are very sure that you are the perfect person for him and that you are being a legendary partner to him now. That's the first thing. The second thing is, the reason you struggle to forgive yourself is because you know you've done something wrong. It is hard to forgive yourself when you've fucked up and repeatedly, and you've done something to someone who doesn't deserve it. You cooked it, okay? So the guilt is going to be there, because, which is a good thing, because it means you have a conscience. It means that you actually care and you do have a heart. So that's good. But the best way to forgive yourself when you know you've done something wrong is to do better. How can I do better, become a better person? How can I learn from this and never go back? If you're still in this spiral of when I see him and this, and I feel hurt when we're in social situations, you're still mentally there. You're still in this loop. You're still, I don't think you're doing enough to separate yourself from this person. And that's probably why you're still feeling guilty. You're not doing enough to fully sever it. You need to find a way to sever it even more. This person has to be completely out of your life at all costs. You should only ever see him if you've bumped into him literally and you could not avoid it. Okay? This person, this mindset that you're in is probably another big reason that's contributing to your guilt. Okay, you've got to think, how can I be the best version? How can I grow from this? How can I learn to appreciate my partner and let them know that they're so appreciated that I can look at what I've done and be like, because that happened, it made me a better person. I learned to show up more for my family. I learned to do all these things. Because if you can't evolve from it, then it was all a waste. And then these guilt feelings are going to stay there forever. So the best way to stop feeling guilty about something that you know you did wrong, that you know could hurt someone, that you know you fucked up repeatedly, you went back and back and back only for your own pleasure, is to be and do better. How are you going to do that? I don't know. You've got to ask yourself that. And when you can evolve as a person and grow and be like, and when you can get to a place where you're like, I am such a better wife than I've ever been. I'm a much better friend, mother, I've evolved as a person. I care more. I do all these things. Like I feel like I've grown and I've learned my lessons. Then you're able to deal with that guilt a whole lot better. If you're still entertaining this man, even emotionally, you're calling him your ex. What the fuck? Like, that's inappropriate. He's not your ex. Imagine if I was with Tyrone these 3.5 years, and in this time frame, he's got someone that he's referring to in his head as an ex that he's actually just cheated on me with while we've been together. Beyond comprehension. This cunt is not your ex. That would imply that you were in a relationship dating. You had an affair. Like, I don't know. That it just blows my mind. I feel like the reason you feel so guilty is because you are still there. You're in love with this cunt, and or you've got these very strong feelings for this guy. So you've got to find a way to be like, if I really want to be in this marriage, I better make it worth it for my husband, because that is so unfair to stay in a marriage when the love of their life could be out there somewhere else. And you're not letting him find the love of his life because you don't want to quote unquote ruin lives. Okay. I don't want to be too mean, but you did say give you harsh advice. But you've got to say, how can I show up as the best version of myself so he would choose me time and time again? So my husband would choose to be with me time and time again. I'm not going to tell him what's gone down. Fine, so be it. But what could I do to make this marriage the best marriage. Because apart from that, the reason you're feeling guilty is because you've got all this fun shit going on with your quote unquote ex, and your husband's just completely unaware that any of this bullshit's happening. Of course you're going to feel guilty. Okay? So just keep asking yourself the question, how do I sever this man even more out of my life? Stop calling him your ex. That's one thing, because that way you're going to feel less attached. You need to pay attention to your wording. How are you wording this? And then also, don't look too heavily into the behaviors that this guy that you had an affair with was displaying as far as love bombing and breadcrumbing and whatever, because you can't even look at those behaviors as proper behaviors within a relationship because he was married. Okay. So these behaviors within the realm of what you guys had are not going to be clear cut at all. You had an affair. Affairs are going to be messy and toxic at the best of times, if there even is the best of times when you're having an affair. An affair is built on lies. There's not much great behavior that can go on in an affair, okay? Bar maybe a few examples, but in general, it's based on lies from both parties. So, yeah, pay attention to your language. Try not to fixate too much on, you know, like, how can you just separate yourself from this person more and more and more? And how can you really focus on making this marriage the best marriage possible? Because if you can't, you need to let your husband go. Okay. Hopefully that helped. I know it was harsh, but I just want you to really get to a point where you feel empowered, because right now you don't feel empowered and you can get to that point. And I'm not going to tell you that you have to tell your husband you had an affair. I just want you to feel in a position where you're like, I want to turn my situation around. I want to be happy in my marriage. I want you to be happy in your marriage, if that's the decision that you've made. Guys, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. It was loaded with a lot of fucking shit. Personal shit, interesting answers from you guys, hilarious answers from you guys, great stories that you guys are sending in. Love you guys so much. Thank you, as always, for chiming in. Please go ahead and rate and review the podcast. It helps the podcast grow. It helps it stay like visible on the charts. It helps other people around the world find the podcast. So thank you so much for already doing all the rating, reviewing, and sharing that you guys are doing. I really do appreciate it. As always, please remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to your brain. Don't take shit from anyone, and especially don't take shit from yourself. Danke.